Hi, everyone. This is Chris Risley from Dwell Community Church. Thanks for joining us today. I have a 10-minute devotional to share with you. This is actually part two of a short devotional series out of 1 Samuel 25. Last time, we looked at David's overreaction to Nabal the fool, very meanly and crudely rejecting him in his humble and kind initiation. And where we left it was, David was about to go do something terrible. In his anger, he and his men, 400 men, had armed themselves to march on Nabal's ranch in order to exact some revenge for his rejection. And we asked at the end of that devotional, what is going to happen? Is David going to be saved from making a terrible mistake? And today we're going to find the answer to that. So let's turn to 1 Samuel 25. We left off David and his men marching, determined that they're going to wipe out Nabal. And then in verse 14, it switches back to Nabal's ranch. It says, "Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and told her, 'David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but Nabal screamed insults at them.'" Verse 17, "You need to know this and figure out what to do, for there's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him." All right, so we argued last time David did have an overreaction to Nabal's rejection, but it turns out nobody really liked Nabal, that he didn't really have any fans, and yet a lot of these men were innocent, and they wanted Abigail, his wife, to figure out what to do. It says in verse 18, "Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 fig cakes. She packed them on donkeys and said to her servants, 'Go on ahead, I'll follow you shortly.' But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing." She knew there was no point talking to him. The Bible makes it very, very clear this man was a very difficult man. And also, let's just reflect, David and his men were asking for hospitality. It's easy from our position to feel like, wow, that was a lot of people to feed and to host. But think about the amount of food that Abigail just swiped from the kitchen in preparation for the feast. I don't think anybody even noticed. So there were plenty of provisions to go around. But that's not the point. The point is that David and his men, in their anger, are marching towards a very angry, foolish man. We see in verse 20, "As she was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her." Okay, she was actually in a very dangerous position because she did not bring armed men with her. She brought a lot of food, which is often good to provide when somebody's feeling really worn out and stressed out, but she didn't have an army. She just had a ranch of shepherds behind her, and she's marching into a ravine where there's nowhere to run or hide, and she's moving straight towards 401 armed, angry men. David had just been saying, a lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen, but he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. All right, so David has not cooled down at all, and it's not just that he's angry. He's about to do something very foolish and very wrong. First of all, Nabal did refuse to offer hospitality, which was very inconsiderate, but it wasn't a capital offense. David one day was supposed to be king over Israel. He was supposed to protect all of Israel, and Nabal was an Israelite, even though he was a fool. Second of all, David wanted to wipe out his entire household, and we've seen that his men knew this is not a good guy, which meant that they were innocent in this matter. So even if Nabal was very rude and very foolish, the rest of his men looked like good men, and David was about to kill a bunch of innocent people. So what we're going to see here is a masterclass and how to approach someone in their anger. And I would encourage you, as you're going through this, these are steps that you can take on your own to deal with your own anger. These are also ways that you can help someone else with their anger. Verse 23, it says, "When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, 'I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say.' So she starts out simply by coming from a humble position. Instead of coming in and being like, David, you have totally overreacted and you just need to calm down. Instead, she asks him, will you please listen to me? And puts herself beneath him as opposed to over him and scolding him in some way. But then interestingly, she goes on, she says in verse 25, I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. I never even saw the young men you sent. What is fascinating about this is that Abigail acknowledges the reality of the situation. She doesn't minimize. She doesn't try to make excuses. You know, if I'm angry at something and someone comes in, they're like, you know, it's really not that big a deal. That might be true, but it doesn't always help. And here, there was a legitimate wrong, and Abigail just says, Nabal is not a good man. And doesn't try to make it any different than it actually is. She goes on in verse 26, now, my Lord, as surely as Yahweh lives and you yourself live, since Yahweh has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. Abigail reminds him of God's protection and God's ultimate justice. That God has provided for him so far, and that God will work all things out in the end. Kind of draws David's eyes up off of the immediate situation onto the bigger picture of everything that God has done so far. She says in verse 27, here's a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. Yahweh has surely rewarded you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting Yahweh's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Here, Abigail reminds David that God has a plan for him and that God wants to use him for great things. And so she casts a vision for the positive things that God wants to do through him. She says in verse 29, even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of Yahweh your God, secure in his treasure pouch. This was a brilliant response because we argued last time that perhaps part of the reason David overreacted to Nabal's rejection is because it touched on a tender part of his heart, in that his father didn't view him that highly for a long time. And here, what does Abigail say? She says, your life is safe in the care of Yahweh your God, secure in his treasure pouch. A treasure pouch was a way that ancient people would move valuable articles that were very delicate. They would take them and wrap them up in all sorts of cloth and other really soft things and put them right in the middle of whatever pouch they were carrying so that that object was kept very safe because it was so valuable. And she's saying to David, that's what you are to God. You are that valuable treasure that he is doing everything he can to protect. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. She goes on to say, the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. Brilliant reminder of how he took down Goliath, who was an actual enemy. And she says, when Yahweh has done all he has promised and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when Yahweh has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. So she casts a positive vision for the future. She says, David, you're going to be king someday, which means you're better than this. Don't stoop to something as petty as revenge against somebody who's not even worth your time. So she lays all of this out. David has been so angry, he armed all of his men to march against Nabal. What does he do in response to this one lone woman? David replied to Abigail, praise Yahweh, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. Whew. He lets her talk him out of it. He adds at the very end, for I swear by Yahweh, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would have still have been left alive tomorrow morning. He's like, I could have done it, but I'm not going to do it. Then David accepted her present and told her, return home in peace. I have heard what you said. David decides to listen. He sees Abigail as a messenger from God to keep him from making a mistake. Let's just quickly review the steps that Abigail took to see ways in which we can help each other. One is that she acknowledged the reality of the situation. She didn't minimize or make excuses. Then she reminded him of God's protection and God's ultimate justice, that there's a bigger plan here. She reminded him of God's specific plan for him and how God had protected him up to this point. She reminded him of the value that God had for him that was independent of how anyone else treated him. And she cast a positive vision for the future and reminded David that he had better things ahead. These are all very helpful things that we can do for ourselves and also for our friends when they're in situations where they feel very angry and are tempted to react badly. So thank God for his word and the very practical instruction that it gives us. Thanks for joining us today. If you're interested in more resources like this, please visit us at dwellcc.org.